This show is sponsored by Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey. That's HuluPlus.com/Joey. And by DollarShaveClub.com. Get high-quality razors sent to your door each and every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. Now, go to DollarShaveClub.com/church. That's DollarShaveClub.com/church. Or just go to joeydiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner. And again, thank you to EscapePodTank.com. They're the leader in sensory deprivation tanks sent to your house. They'll come and set it up for you. You're already saving thousands. But mention the church of what's happening now, Joey Diaz, and you'll get an extra $250 off your order.
Oh shit, it's Monday, March 24th, the day the devil was fucked in the ass, then buried at sea. Oh shit, little Soundgarden here. What? Lee put on the wrong fucking jam, but that's okay. He's lucky I don't stab him in
this
the
is the wrong
neck.
One?
It's beautiful, brother. Don't worry about nothing. It's a beautiful day to be alive. Beautiful fucking day to be alive. Kick that shit, Lee. It's over. It's over. Close that door, buddy. I don't want Puerto Ricans walking in here stabbing. We got equipment. We got a kilo of blow in here. It's going down. Monday, April 24th. March 24th. What the fuck? These fucking vapors are getting to me. Turn it off, Lee. Fuck it. What's happening, you bad motherfuckers? The church of what's happened now. Flavor. Lee Syed, a.k.a. the Flying Jew. What's going on, player?
A.k.a. I don't know. I'm doing good. It was
You're
a good weekend.
Good, cuckshuck. Everything all right?
Everything's great, except for you made fun of me because I got roped into going to a bad restaurant again.
He's the fucking king of bad restaurants. And he sits there and takes this abuse. I got a snap after 3 minutes. Like, I'm not fucking going. I refuse to fucking go. I don't care where the fucking group is going. I don't give a fuck about groups. I'm my own fucking group. I got an itch on my back that's been killing me for 15 fucking minutes. You understand? I don't know what the fuck I'm looking at. There you go. I got like a hair patch or some shit. It's fucking growing. But it's Monday. You motherfuckers, get up, wash your asshole. You got to go out there and deal with it. Like I said, a smile in your heart, fucking love, and some balls. That's what you fucking need today, and you'll make it happen. Trust me. I live on this shit every fucking day. I ain't no better than you motherfuckers. I'm just trying to put the pieces together. I saw Lee yesterday. We had some coffee with the baby.
Yeah, she's so fucking big.
She's fucking
huge, and do you get nervous about swearing? Because I think I swore once. It's like, oh, no.
I
made a service.
I get nervous because one day she's going to pick it up. She is picking it up. It's going into a computer, and every time she takes a nap, she hears fuck and cocksucker and fuck your mother up the ass.
Well, she's doing the talking. Like, you picked up the cell phone and you started talking, and then she has a baby cell phone, and then she started doing it. She started doing the hand movement. She put it up to her ear. She did the thing, but she just, the only thing missing is the word.
It's a pink little fucking plastic cell phone you buy at a toy store. And whenever my phone rings, she picks up her cell phone. And she puts it to her ear like she's talking to somebody. Like, what's going on? I hear you. You know what I mean? I hear you, cocksuckers. What else? Did you go to movies? Did you eat dinner with the wife? What did you do?
I ate dinner with the wife. We went to a Thai place. Okay. That's what we like.
Tremendous.
No, we didn't go to the movies. I spent the weekend looking for a dog, but I've decided that I just... something I'm going to have to wait on a little bit. It's because I had been going to a rescue, and I wasn't finding anything, so we decided to go to the local shelter, and it's like hundreds of examples of when people couldn't handle getting a dog. I even picked one out. I had an adorable little one, and it was calm, because that's why I need a calm dog. I can't have one running around being crazy, especially in my place. And it got me sad because the woman was saying, this dog was 10 months old and it had been adopted from that shelter. And the family had recently, like 2 days before, brought it back. And I'm like, how could... like, this isn't... you can't do that to a dog after it gets used to a family and it's stuck in a little cage now. And it's just, I even though I have more time than I've ever had at home, I don't feel like I have enough time as a single person.
Nothing pisses me off when people don't think out the move.
Yeah.
Think out the fucking move. It's like when you see a homeless guy with a fucking dog. Obviously, he didn't think the fucking move out. Or yeah. He has the dog as a ploy to make some cash from people, from animal lovers, and I understand it. But there's nothing worse than getting a dog and then realizing your schedule, your time, and it happened to you once before.
Yeah.
So when you called me and said that to you, my natural insult was to just tell you to go fuck yourself. But I told you to think about it. Think about it for 24 hours. That's what everybody should do. Think about it for 24 fucking hours. Don't get me wrong. It took me 20 years to realize that. I'm no fucking genius.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, anything I've ever done now, I think about it for 24 fucking hours. And you see it for what it is. You're 25.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get into different things. You have no family out here. You have no cover. You're like me. You know, when Terry started bringing fucking cats upstairs, I knew my life was changing. Then you live through an earthquake. You see what an earthquake is. And you think about what it does to this animal, this cat, or this dog that you love. And you really can't leave. What if last Monday's would have been 9.9 and you're here and the building falls down? You got to fly over there and save the fucking animal. And it's just, it's a lot of responsibility at a young age. If you had a house here, if you were planning on staying here, you know, anything could change at any time. You have this dog and there's nobody here. Your girlfriend has to take a train every day to go over there.
Yeah.
And I go over there a few times a week, but then I got to go out of town.
Mm-hmm. And it's just, it doesn't happen a lot, but every once in a while you'd be like, hey, we're going to San Diego. We'll be back tonight, but it's still 6 hours. Or fucking, it's just, there's enough of a time where I wouldn't want to do that to a dog. So what I've decided is I'm going to do something, maybe volunteer at the shelter or something, because I do love the dogs. But even some people wrote to me on Twitter when I said that, like, listen, man, it's not, I think as a single person, it's probably too much. Because the girl and I have been talking about moving in together in like a year or something. I think when that happens, and there's two people at the house. There's
two people at the house, and she could come in at lunchtime if you're out of town. You know, it really helps. Nothing fucking pisses me off more than going to a shelter and seeing 20 fucking pit bull mixes.
Oh, there's so many of them. There's thousands. There was a St. Bernard puppy that was probably like already 100 pounds. And it was just so happy. And yeah, some of the pit bulls were kind of scary at the shelter. They were angry. But some of them were so sweet and they just looked so happy. And then there was one. The one that probably made me not get the dog was one, and they all have on the sheet when it came in. One came in January, and this one didn't even come out to say hi to anybody. It was just sitting in the back. It's just like, it had been there for 3 months, and it was like, oh.
He was giving up hope.
Yeah, and it's just,
it's fucking wild. No. It's wild to even, I see those things at parks now,
mm-hmm.
and I won't even walk.
I almost went there yesterday. There was one in the park in Laurel Canyon.
Laurel Canyon, yeah. Always has them on Sunday. And I went over there one day and I walked over and I seen these cats and I saw a cat that looked just like mine, like my super bad. And it's just amazing. You know, I couldn't think of my life without those fucking cats I have. Those mm-hmm. cats. Now with the baby, it's fucking too much. But I still deal with it and I realize how much they love me, my cats, and how much I love them. This days, I have fucking Harry and Superbad, who fucking are mortal enemies. Do you understand me? They're mortal
they are?
Fucking enemies. Oh, they hate each other since day one. I got one on this fucking leg, and I got Superbad on my chest. And that's the way, you know, that's just the way it goes. And I look at them, and I look at my daughter, and they mean the same to me. It's the weirdest thing. They both, it's fucking Superbad. I would have never stopped snorting without Superbad. And he's the ugliest, rattiest, stinkiest, smelliest fucking cat. I smelled his face last night. I almost fucking puked. But I love him. Yeah. I love holding him and squeezing him. And Harry, this morning I was doing something in the office and I heard him fucking crying. I wanted to go, what the fuck, Harry? He was hungry. I went over, I fed him, I pet him, I picked him up, I kissed him. You know, it's Monday. On Mondays, I try to kiss them all and hug it. Like last Monday, I didn't know that they were looking for attention. They were letting me know there was going to be a fucking earthquake, and I didn't even know it. And I picked them up, like, fucking all of them. I started kissing them and telling them I love them before I left because they were acting weird. And look, when I came back, there was an earthquake, and I didn't think about it until hours later, you know?
Do you think you'll have, because, I mean, you'll have the cats while Mercy is there, but do you think if you ever got, like, a bigger house, like I think it was important for me to have a dog because cats is responsibility, but the act of taking a dog out, I think is important. Have you thought about getting a dog for her? Or is it? I mean, there's just because I was watching you yesterday, and I can't imagine. Like it just seems like it's. I don't know how you get it. I honestly don't know how you guys get anything done. Because, like, just, she threw the book down. She started crying a little bit. I was like, oh, my, how do you, like, not focus fully? So, just, like, I always started thinking 10 years in the future.
You get used to it, and you, I know for a fact, I know before I had the child that I was never going to, a friend of mine said, listen, when you have her, don't think of doing nothing else. That you're not going to write, you're not going to read a book, you're not going to be able to watch TV. It's too much attention. So you know this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's it. You just, when you have her, you watch. You watch. And sometimes she watches TV, and sometimes you got to read her a book. And it's a commitment. It's a commitment at every fucking level, but you do it, you know. Sometimes in the summer, you ever see, like, I go to the fucking Studio City, and I've said this 1,000 times. I go to Studio City, I go to the park, and I'll see a nanny with 2 kids at the park. The mother doesn't even have time. God forbid she's that busy. But then I'll swing 2 miles across town and I'll see a Mexican woman that's pregnant pushing a fucking kid in a carriage with a kid in one hand with groceries.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck? What the fuck? You know what I'm saying? So it's whatever you do. It's whatever you fucking choose and how you choose to do it. You know, time is time. You know, mm-hmm. Time is, you have to make time for everything. You have to make time for yourself. It's really important. I had a really good time this weekend. I had a fucking great time last week. You know, I had a... I was sore the one day from jiu-jitsu or something, so I didn't do much Wednesday and Thursday. But I did some comedy last week. You know, I did the Doug Benson thing. It was a big-time stony week last week. I was fucking high Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Yeah, Jesus.
And then Friday we got high again. You didn't want to get high with me, so it was... It was a stony weekend. But Friday night I did something that I had been looking forward to for a long fucking time. I went to the third year anniversary party at my jiu-jitsu school.
Oh, cool.
Now, they always have little things. They always have, once every 60 days, they have a barbecue, a belt promotion, this, that, a demonstration, and they always barbecue afterward. And I'm always out of fucking town. Always out of fucking town. So when I got the email for this, like the beginning of the month, I was just, I put it on the calendar. I told my wife I was going, and I went down there. I did the beginner class. I did the whole Marcelo Madness, which is calisthenics. And then I stayed to spar for about, till about 9:15. And I was going to go and do a set of flappers and then come back. There was a friend of mine I wanted to see up there. Jimmy Schubert was up there.
Mm-hmm.
But I went home and I took a shower and the baby was still awake. So I said, fuck it. I just went and got a case of beer and went over to the party. I didn't drink. I had a hamburger and a hot dog. And at one moment, I just sat there and looked at all these kids because that's basically what they are. They're fucking kids. They're 25-year-old kids. You know, some are working. Some are not working. Some are getting out of school. Some are thinking of going back, you know, and... What keeps them together is this jiu-jitsu class, you know, and it's a cheap jiu-jitsu class. It's $60 a month, and that's all they could afford, you know. They live on ramen and shit, and they get, like, a gi, and it's so weird that I sat there for, like, 30 minutes just looking, and I kept my mouth shut. I didn't say 2 words. Nobody asked me to take a fucking picture. Nobody asked me if I'd been auditioning. Nobody asked me if I was doing a set. Nobody asked me if I was in a movie. I was just a regular person, man. And that's why I do that.
How often does that happen?
Happens every time I go to jiu-jitsu. Anytime I've gone into a martial art the last 5 years, I go in there and I leave everything at the fucking door when I walk in there. It's my hour, like we've discussed before. But it's also, I don't know, this, my biggest mistake, people always say, well, blah, blah. If I would have stayed in martial arts, if I would have, could have, should have, you know, I went to church with my wife yesterday and we dropped the baby off in daycare downstairs and I hung around. Terry goes upstairs. It's her church, not mine. So I'd rather hang out and watch the kids play with the tambourines and shit. And there's a girl downstairs, Sophia. And she was talking to me about ballerina, how it fucks up her toes. And she goes, yeah, you know, I'm a ballerina. I've been doing it since I was 2 or 3, blah, blah, blah. And I said to her, you know, do me a favor. whatever you fucking decide in your life, don't ever quit ballet.
How old is she?
She just turned 13.
Okay.
She goes to school with Felicia's kids.
Okay.
All right, so that's how I know her. Her name is Sophia. Good-looking young girl. She's going to be fun, but she got a gray head. You can tell she's an only child, and you can see that she's older. When you walk in, she told me she was 13. I thought she was like 28. I can't fucking tell. But it was really weird that I said to her, don't quit whatever you're doing. Even if it doesn't make you money in the future. That thing you've been doing since you were two, that'll always bring you back. And a lot of people don't know that. Like, and then the other woman said, you know, I played the piano all my life. My father made me hate it. And the other girl goes, I used to sing. And my father made me hate it. And then you all try to get back into it now. One of my biggest mistakes at 15 was dumping karate. It destroyed me because it kept me intact. It was a group of people that I didn't hang out with, which meant I only saw them when I went to karate or karate events.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever I was doing with my friends in North Bergen at the time, it didn't really matter when I went down there on whatever, Tuesday, Thursdays, and Saturday mornings to throw sidekicks. You know, if I smoked pot with my friends, I didn't smoke pot with these karate kids. These karate kids, you went, you bought a gi, you beat each other up. And then you all went out for cheeseburgers and talked about fucking the martial arts supply store, how they just got a new set of knee pads in it. You got to get them in red. That was your big fucking geek out. That was what we did. And then something possessed me to go hang out with these other gorillas that none of them were into anything but bad shit. And my life went astray. And then when I was 25 or 26 in 1994, whatever the fuck I was, 30, I said to myself, oh, I'm going to go back to martial arts. And thank God I got back into like a Tang Soo, traditional bowing, the whole fucking thing. And it was really special for me. It really brought me back and it focused my stand-up. So then when I went off the deep end again for 10 fucking years, over here in 2006, before I went on the fucking Weight Watcher thing, I went to this karate school, kung fu school in Vermont with these black dudes, these two black dudes. I used to call it Kung Fu with the Brothers. And I loved it, and it brought me back to focus.
How does a karate class bring your life back? Like, because it seems like it's only an hour a day. Like, how does it focus your whole life?
Because it takes you away from your life, and it makes you look at your life from a different angle. You follow me? Mm-hmm. It takes you away from that. Just walking into a gym, walking into a martial arts school, walking into something that takes an hour of your head, because you think about your day, you think about your week, you think about your day, you work 6 hours, you do this, and you go to yourself, what do I do the other 5 hours? Oh, I fuck off. And you go to yourself, what if I did something different one of those fucking hours, you know? When I was a kid and I went to martial arts, it was weird. It kept me away from things full time. Do you follow me? It was my time away, like my friend Jody. Was a fucking boozer. She joined Kung Fu with karate down the block from me. In fact, it was Tang Soo Do. And I tried to explain that. I go, Jody, I don't give a fuck if you don't quit drinking. But think about this. Your class, 2 nights a week is at 8 o'clock. Those 2 days, you're not going to drink till 9:30. You're going to keep focused and not have a drink till 8:30. So even if you fuck around for 5 days, there's going to be 2 days that you're going to find something to do till 8:30. You're going to go to the class. You're going to have a great time. And once you walk out of that fucking class, I don't give a fuck if you walk into your cabinet and drink the whole fucking thing of booze and alcohol and ice cubes and olives and fucking whatever the fuck you, margarita salt. But do you understand me, bro? That fucking hour and a half keeps you so focused. And it could be anything. It doesn't have to be fucking jiu-jitsu. It could be fucking anything. It could be capoeira. It could be kickboxing. It could be judo. It could be karate. It could be yoga. Whatever, that little thing keeps you, it takes you away from usually the people who are always talking about what you don't want to fucking talk about, your life. When you sit with Paula, after the hellos and the goodbyes and the bullshit, how long do you tell her that you need to make more money? How long does she talk to you about her fucking life going to law school?
Yeah.
This is it. That hour, nobody knows about your fucking problems. That hour you go to grow. You go to grow mentally. You might have a little goal for yourself. You know what? Today, dog, those fucking drills in the beginning, I'm going to fucking throw 10 kicks instead of 8. I don't care if I don't breathe the rest of the fucking class. That particular drill, I'm going to throw 8 kicks today. I'm going to throw 10 instead of 8. You know, sometimes I go to jiu-jitsu and I go, you know what? Today I'm going to go past the black on hip escapes. And I give myself a personal goal. When I walk out of jiu-jitsu, I'll tell you something. If you catch me at the door, you'd have to suck my dick for 2 hours before a drop of Yum Yum juice came out. Because that's how high I am from what I just did. When I walk out of jiu-jitsu, it's the best time for me to write. It's the best time for me to do a podcast. I wish I could go from jiu-jitsu right to the fucking stage.
Mm-hmm.
Because I destroy every time. Because the accomplishment that you feel.
Okay.
So if you say to yourself, like, yeah, the gym is great and all this stuff, but there's different things that you could do. I don't give a fuck if it's an art class. It might be an art class. But it takes you away from that bullshit. From your bullshit, you know? And I'm not saying your bullshit, my bullshit.
No, yeah.
It's our own bullshit, you know? From the cat needs food, and who didn't fucking puke, and I gotta go to the weed store, and just the dilemmas of the fucking day, you know? It's just amazing what it does for you.
So how, I mean, I don't remember, cause I did martial arts all through school, and I don't remember as a kid having those thoughts, but when you're saying that to me, I'm thinking, well, if I'm in class, maybe my mind will be elsewhere. Maybe my mind will be on those things. So did you have to train yourself to not worry about it?
Yeah, because after a while, you do get caught. If an instructor's saying, well, that's it. He's setting you up for a fucking thing. All of a sudden, you look down, and you do get caught. You're like, fuck, when I leave here, I got to go right to the bank. You know, like, you might think about that. I might have to go right to the bank and cash that check. If not, my family's not going to eat tonight. Whatever. I'm just saying. Right then and then, Lee, something catches you, and you're like, okay. They're like, come over here, Lee, demonstrate it on Joey. And now you got to throw me over, or punch me in the stomach, or karate chop me and throw a kick. And now you're like, fuck, when the teacher demonstrated it, I didn't think I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I could do it. I just missed by 3 inches. Let me do this again. And all of a sudden you throw that kick and that punch, and now you're like, wow, a little closer. And now you get sucked in, bro. You just get sucked in by your own abilities, by the things you can do. Not the things you can't do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very weird fucking thing, man. And I knew that when I got out of... Listen, that if I look back, I was a fucking moron. I ate that girl's pussy and it made me crazy. And I got left back in the 7th grade, right?
Yeah.
It happens. And after I got left back, I got really smart really quick because I did the things I wasn't doing before. I was taking notes in class, doing shit like that. But I also think that... I got really into basketball after I got left back, and I got very into martial arts after I got left back. And that focused me, man. It really focused me. I never got in trouble. And yeah, I started smoking pot with the neighborhood guys, but I would never tell my martial artist friends. It was like a fucking stripe against me if I told my martial artist friends. When I quit martial arts, I didn't quit it. I quit because I wanted a party. More than I want to do martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to work anymore, bro.
Yeah.
That's what I didn't want to do. I didn't want to work anymore. And it's a fucking shame. And it took me 10 years to realize that. And if I have a friend or a daughter or a son or a nephew who got involved in something, it doesn't have to be martial arts. It could be anything. They got involved in the archery. I don't give a fuck. I'm saying to keep doing that.
Mm-hmm.
To keep doing that because it'll keep you centered. It's like when you're a telemarketer, a salesman, they give you a pitch to read on the phone. After 90 days, you go on a tangent and you start just talking. And then you realize you're not selling anymore until you go back to that script. That's what I'm talking about. Sometimes you have to go back to the original script of your life. That's what you did for 15 years. My cousin played the piano. There was a girl there who said she played the piano. And then one day she stopped because of the abusive father. You know, your father's like, play the fucking piano on Saturdays.
Yeah.
She goes, I'd be playing the piano, listen to the kids playing outside. So I got turned off to the piano, and I go, don't you wish you started playing out? She goes, I did. A year and a half ago, I started taking lessons again, and I finally just financed the piano. So it's amazing. Sometimes people, to find themselves again, they go back to what they were doing as kids. Because you want to go back to that moment. You want to see what the fuck you were thinking at 14 and 15 when you were something.
Mm-hmm.
When you did have ambition. When you did have a wanting for life. I look at my daughter when they clap on a TV show and she gets fucking excited. We don't fucking clap no more because we've been poisoned. But to have that virginity to life again, to have that, to be excited about life again as a child, you know, we're going to Wendy's, way, you know what I'm saying? If I tell you you're going to Wendy's now, you're like, all right, I'll eat a double, but fuck, my stomach is going to be sore. I'm not eating the chili.
Yeah.
But when you're a kid, you tell them McDonald's, they jump up and fucking down. That's why McDonald's will never close down. Because every day you get a million fucking new customers. Every time a little kid is fucking born, give them 2 years, they're going to have a McNugget in their fucking mouth.
With. Oh, fuck it. I saw that this weekend, and not to change the subject, but I was watching something, and there were kids' commercials, and they're so fucking manipulative. Like, have you noticed that watching the kids' shows with your daughter? Like especially like the Chuck E. Cheese and the McDonald's.
And you're not around. And you're not around. So that's sucking them the fuck in.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's why they lose their fucking mind. Because while they're watching the commercial, they have devils stabbing them with $100 bills for toys and shit. So that's what the kids really fucking see.
Remember, yeah.
You ever hear about that, about Coke? That when you went to a movie theater, that Coke would slow down if you slowed down the advertising, Coke would throw subliminal messages in there.
Oh, I'm sure.
You're thirsty. Get up. Go
like ahead. one frame every second or
go
something.
Get popcorn or some shit like that. But it was just, it just felt nice to be around normal people, bro.
Yeah, that must not happen a lot with you. I mean, and I'm not saying everywhere you go. It's not like you go to Ralph's and there's a parade for Joey Diaz.
No. I'm not talking about it in this way. This is what I'm talking about.
I'm saying everyone knows who you are.
I'm talking about a sense. We walk in here. I come in here to do a podcast. I sit down with you. A guest comes in. And within 4 minutes, ago, you've been auditioning lately?
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll ask him. I'm no fucking innocent in this either. You've been auditioning lately? Yeah. But by next thing you know, we're talking fucking shop. Anywhere I go, I'm going to talk shop to. In my house, when I'm having dinner with my wife. How was your day? Good. Boom. I talk to this guy. You're talking shop.
It happens with every job, too. I did that with my TV jobs. Every time on the weekends. And it was funny because we hated the job. But any time we go together for drinks after work or on the weekends, it all go back to that boss we hated or... I can't believe how stupid they are.
So all you want to do is get your mind out of there so you can still grow personally.
Now, do you think it's important that it was something you did as a kid, or could it be something totally new?
It could be something totally new.
Okay.
But I'm saying, if you think about it, if you're an adult right now, mm-hmm. you're over 30 and you did something as a kid and you stopped doing it, I want you to think about when you were doing it, how you felt about life. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you want to feel like that again?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want to feel like that again? So this might just bring you back. You ever fucking smell something that reminds you of your mom's stew or something your mom used to cook, mm-hmm. a certain hot dog, and it fucking arouses you for 5 minutes, and you think about the last time your mom made it, and how it can't be your mom. Your mom's 2,000 miles away. You follow me? But it takes you back. I'm feeling the same thing for something you did every fucking day. You know, even if you just go out there and play two-hand touch maybe.
Mm-hmm.
For 3 minutes. I don't fucking know. I'm just saying, for me, it worked.
Yeah.
For me, I saw the beginning of the end. For somebody else, maybe not. Where's the fucking Musical.ly? It's Monday, the 24th. Who the fuck knows what happened to the devil today? I don't know if he was buried at sea. I don't know if he was on that Malaysian plane. Who the fuck knows where that fucking devil is? Where's Tony Bennett, Lee? You're supposed to... There you go. A little something for my mom, a little something for some people in your life. They're watching you, cocksucker. Stay black. Oh, shit. Where's that fucking vapor pen?
I want to be around to pick up the pieces when somebody breaks your heart. Somebody twice as smart.
Yummy for your tummy. You know what I'm saying?
Do you have plays? Like when you said tackle football or touch football. I was never good at sports, but I have like 4 or 5 sports moments that I had as a kid that I remember clear as a bell.
Good. Let me listen to Tony Bennett. You can tell me all about him later.
I will tell you all about him. Son of a bitch. I had an interception and I fell in the end zone. It was exciting.
Did you?
It was 5th grade and I tricked the guy. I was like, I'm on your team, and I wasn't on this team. I got the ball.
It's an old Jew trick.
When he breaks your heart to bits.
Let's see if the puzzle fits. Are you fucking kidding me, Lee?
I'm not kidding
you. Are you fucking going to the piano? Run it, Lee.
And that's when I'll discover that revenge is
revenge sweet. Is sweet, Lee. Even Tony Bennett says so. The nicest guy in America.
You're going to Tony Bennett land this weekend. Excited?
I'm going to Fort Lauderdale.
I know.
Is that Tony Bennett land?
It has to be. There's so many old Jews and old Italians.
That's a Jamaican cocksucker. I didn't know what you were talking about. That's what Tony Bennett was from Fort Lauderdale.
No, no, no.
It's just like he's down there spring breaking at the beach with a bikini on.
I'm sure he is. He's like the most interesting man in the world.
He really is. It's amazing. He's still working. He's still doing what he fucking loves. You know what I'm saying? What the fuck, Lee cocksucker? You're not getting high no more.
Yes, I did.
You didn't eat edibles the other fucking day.
I ate edibles 2 days last week.
Who cares? 2 days. You're a fucking Marine. You got to eat every day. Like a savage. You got any left around here? Where's the edibles? You threw them all home. I know you got
No, you have them all.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right, I got to check the house. Maybe I ate them
all. Why would I have any of them?
Because maybe you want to save him, maybe you want to dose the girlfriend and fucking take pictures. I don't fucking know. I don't ask you questions. What are you looking at the screen for? What's the matter? What's on there?
Just looking for the call. Just making sure.
You look all fucking upset. What's the problem here, Lee?
I'm perfect.
You good? What are you going to do today? What do you got on the agenda?
9 o'clock, we have a Flying Jew Radio.
Okay. Today?
Today, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I spent last night packing up the t-shirt orders, so.
Okay. And they're going to go out today?
Going out today.
You're going to take them to the mail department?
I know, I already put the stamps on them and stuff, so I'm just going to throw them in the box.
And they come over and get them?
They would, but I was going out, so I just figured I'd bring them over, because I didn't want to, like, you can't schedule a time. Like, it's just that they'll come over whenever they come over, so I felt better about putting it in the box.
Okay, so then you take it to the post office.
Or any blue box. I'm just throw them in there. They're already stamped.
Blue box?
Yeah.
No shit.
That's what they said. We'll see how it works.
Okay. See what I'm saying? You're learning.
Yeah.
This is the beauty of it. What the fuck?
What the fuck, dog?
What the fuck?
But it is pretty cool. I mean, I know we have people in different countries, but like, I'm sending a shirt to Australia and to Austria. I'm like, how cool is that?
I had an email from Norway last night. Finland's big in the fucking house. I got some white people in China smoking opium over there.
Do you see what happened to Cleo? Like, her husband got in a car accident or something. I think he's okay. But,
come on.
Yeah, but she put that on Twitter. But he's fine, but... But I saw that yesterday with Cleo, so I'm hoping.
I just returned her a email. Man, I got some fucking great emails this week. I really did. You know, you got a problem, you want to chit-chat, fucking go to, what is it?
Beating the Beast Podcast.
BeatingTheBeastPodcast@gmail.com and send me a fucking email. Oh, no.
And I think you have
go to JoeyDiaz.net. Yeah, go to JoeyDiaz.net. I got a lot of addiction. I guess addiction's fucking huge, man.
Oh, yeah, fuck yeah, it is.
Fucking pills and blow and... People are freaking the fuck out, but sometimes it's not an addiction, I think. Sometimes it's just people want to party and they're scared to quit, but they know how to fucking quit. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think everyone knows it's, I mean, for us, for me, it's food. I think everyone knows what they have to do. It's just, it's hard doing it because it's not easy and it's not fun.
I just get surprised on how many fucking people email me about addiction. And, you know, I've learned a complete lesson the last 5 years. I've learned a complete fucking lesson because I thought that when I wouldn't tell my stories, I thought that everybody had a celebrity they dealt coke to. Or I thought that everybody once mugged somebody in the back of my head. I thought that one day Lee was going to say, well, I fucking stabbed the hook. I always thought that about people. I don't know fucking why. And then I found out, when I would tell people, I found out that I was fucked up. You know, but I was a little fucked up from the way I lived and whatever. And you tell your fucking stories, and I have no idea where I'm going with this. I got too high on that fucking vapor pen. That vapor pen will kick your ass. You know, it's been 35 or 36 days I haven't smoked dope.
How are your lungs feeling?
My lungs are doing better. Sometimes I get surprised. I take those fucking shroom techs, and I get surprised. Like Friday night, I took the shroom techs, and I got surprised on how much energy... And how much lung power I had. Let me tell you how good the shroom techs were on fucking Monday, on Friday night. I went to an hour fucking beginner class. Then I did an hour calisthenics, squats, jumping jacks, push-ups, sit-ups. I can't do the fucking burpees. I'm not going to lie to nobody. And I can't do the cross-country, whatever the fuck. I ain't going to lie to nobody. I did those three sets of 20 each. And then we rolled. I rolled three things at 5 minutes apiece. Then I went fucking home. I did five sets of swing kettlebells and five sets of clean and jerks, clean and presses with a squat. That's how fucking good the shroom techs are fucking doing. I'll tell you what, man. If you're looking for fucking energy, whether you're a fat fuck, a skinny fuck, you're starting out, you just want to give it a shot to see. It doesn't raise your heartbeat. Your heart doesn't pound out of your fucking shirt. It just gives you this weird energy when you think you should be breathing heavy.
Mm-hmm.
You're not. That's what the shroom tech does.
Okay.
It's something in those whatever type of mushrooms. So do me a favor, man. If you're looking to start working out or something, and I hate plugging something here, but I just remember sometimes, I just want to tell you, Onnit does a fucking great job. Whether it's the fucking Alpha Brain, neurologist approved, whether it's the fucking shroom tech, whether it's the fucking strong bone, that some people, you know, people email me. Some people get good results off the tea powder. Some people don't. Some people love the turnaround fucking 180. I haven't heard one to complain about that. You know, but the Alpha Brain, I hear some people get headaches or something like that. I got headaches in the beginning, but after you move it a couple of days, you fucking feel great, you know? I'll tell you, anything you want to try, they got the kettlebells, they got those fucking buffalo strips now, they got the digestive enzymes. They keep getting better and better and better. I don't need to fucking tell you. Go to Onnit.com and see what you fucking like on there. Even if you order one thing of the Shroom Tech, use my code. What's the code?
Church.
Church. C-H-U-R-C-H. And get yourself 10% off, 20% off. If you like it, you go back and you register for Stay Onnit. And you get 20% off right off the bat, plus the fucking 10. And they mail it right to your house at the beginning of the month. You don't have to go nowhere. You don't have to reorder. You don't have to get back online, give you your fucking credit card. That's how easy it is. Go to Onnit today, because I tell you what, I'm 300 fucking pounds. And for me to do what I just told you, I just fucking realized what I did. That was the shroom tech. And I went home and I wasn't breathing heavy. I had to pee. I can't lie to you motherfuckers. When I fucking breathe heavy, I gotta fucking pee. But besides that,
what are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do? A little pee, but you live? Who gives a fuck? It's not like those pills for asthma they got. You spray your lungs and you might die. What am I gonna die for? Why would I wanna fucking die for? I'm alive. So what? I'm breathing a little fucking heavy. But with your spray, I'm gonna fucking die. I seen that ad.
Oh, yeah.
Watch that fucking ad. You sit there and go, what the fuck did he just say?
Exactly. Now, everyone, like, I'm not a huge stoner, but you always hear people say, oh, well, weed smoke isn't as bad for you as cigarette smoke. Being off of it for 30 days, do you think, like, does weed do something when you're
smoke bad? Is smoke.
Okay.
Smoke is smoke. Whether it's weed smoke, whether it's cigarette smoke, I feel less toxic.
Okay.
I feel like my lungs are less toxic. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel a little better, and I'm sure. It's not like I'm jumping over fences and I got tons of cardio. No. It's going to take its time. Not to mention I'm 300 pounds. My body is, you know, carrying 100 fucking pounds more than what it should. So that alone weighs on your fucking cardio. Through time, I'll get better and better and better at it, and I'll lose some weight and we'll make it happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Here we go.
Uncle Ben, what's happening, buddy?
Nothing much. How are you, Joey?
Good, buddy. Thank you very much for waking up early and calling. So I got to ask you a question before we even get started. You're in Missoula right now?
Yeah, Missoula, Montana.
Let me tell you something. I used to do comedy there 15 years ago at a place called the 8 Ball Inn.
Oh, yeah? Not here anymore.
It's not there anymore? How long have you lived in Missoula for?
I went to grad school here for a couple of years and moved away to New York, and I've been back now for about 6 years.
You like it up there?
I love it.
It's fucking cold. It's the real deal.
Well, you know, you get into a winter sport and it gives you a reason to look forward to it.
What do you do up there? What do you like? You ski a lot?
Or you do a lot of cross-country skiing.
Oh,
yeah. I take my dog out there and kind of get way out there.
Oh, your legs are fucking solid. Yeah, I used to drive. When I lived in Seattle, I used to work Missoula for Tribble, and there was a couple Montana rooms he had. I went everywhere from Billings to, I went everywhere in Montana. That's when you could do 150 in your car and nobody gave a fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
And what did you go to grad school for?
Writing, creative writing.
You're a bad motherfucker. On the line, my man Ben Folks, he's a writer for USA Today, also for MMA Junkie. You know, I called George the other day, and George, who's also been on the show, and I've been on MMA Junkie various times, I wanted him to break down the TR. We just started talking about the TRT thing, and he mentioned your name. He said you've done a couple articles on it. Break it down for me. What's going on in UFC and how this is going to affect the TRT ban?
Well, what's going on now, we're actually in kind of a period of change, because for the last few years, it was gaining in popularity, and a lot of different arguments came out about it. Some guys saying, hey, you know, these guys have natural testosterone deficiencies. Guys like Chael Sonnen, who was one of the first to kind of popularize it. Vitor Belfort was one. Dan Henderson is kind of the grandfather of it for a long time. And saying, hey, we need, you know, synthetic testosterone just to keep us within normal testosterone levels, to keep us healthy and be able to go in there and compete. And the problem is, synthetic testosterone for any other fighter who gets on it, it's a performance enhancer. It's a steroid. And when you take synthetic testosterone and administer it, you know, via a shot or a cream, whatever, administer it exogenously, you know, outside the body, that's a performance enhancer. And every other fighter can't do it. These other guys, they go and they get a doctor's note and get permission from the commissions to do it. And so it naturally creates some ethical questions. You know, is it fair? Is it fair for some guys to be able to do it and not other guys? And is it safe? Is it not only safe for them, the guys using it, but, you know, they're not baseball players. They're not tennis players. They're hitting each other in the head. And if you let a guy, you know, take a performance-enhancing substance that's going to make him faster and stronger, help him recover faster so he can train harder, and then he gets to go on a cage and beat somebody up, you know, some bad stuff can happen there. So it was a debate that we had in sport for several years, and now finally the tide has turned against synthetic testosterone and TRT, as we call it, testosterone replacement therapy. And the Nevada Commission, which is the kind of the commission that sets the standard for the rest of the nation, they recently announced that they're not going to allow any more therapeutic use exemptions for testosterone. You know, they're not even going to look at the applications anymore. You just can't do it anymore. And that's already led, you know, a couple commissions to say they'll follow suit. The UFC has said that they will follow suit in the areas where it acts as its own regulator. So now, you know, a few months ago it was cool. Now it's not cool anymore.
Now they're saying that, like, Vitor Belfort pulled out of his fight against Chris Weidman. Now he's going to go clean without it. That's what's going to happen now. Guys like him and Chael Sonnen and Dan Henderson, who fucking punched, I guess Sonnen won't be smelling any farts lately, because he fucking hit him so hard in the nose, he broke his goddamn nose. And I love Shogun, he just caught him with a great shot. So guys that will not be allowed to shoot testosterone anymore.
Right. Well, I mean, and if they do it, then they'll be cheating. They won't be allowed to do it legally. And that is one of the tricky things about testosterone to begin with, is if you, you know, say you didn't get a therapeutic use exemption, you know, even back when they were being handed out, and you decided you wanted to use it, it's one of the harder substances to detect because it goes away so quickly. You get the shot, and it dissipates in your system pretty quickly. Those levels come down in a hurry. So if you know how to manage your levels, I mean, the normal test they do for fighters is the TE ratio test, the testosterone to epitestosterone ratio. And in most states, if it's higher than 4-1, you know, four testosterone and for one epitestosterone, then they consider that a positive test. And for Nevada, for a while, they had it as high as 6-1. One of the things that the Balco people figured out when they were, you know, doping in baseball and other sports was that those tests don't differentiate between, you know, 4-1 and 8-2 and, you know, and 16-4. You can just keep raising the epitestosterone level along with the testosterone, and you can beat those tests. Because the only test that reliably catches the presence of synthetic testosterone is the carbon isotope ratio test, which most athletic commissions don't even do unless they catch you with the TE ratio test first. So, I mean, it's not as if it's going to completely drive testosterone out of the sport, but it will just drive it underground. It will make it so that it's like other steroids, and that if you want to use it, you have to, you know, admit to yourself that you're cheating.
You got to take a ride to Mexico.
Yeah.
You know, it's
fun. I mean, you know, there's just so many, you look around, you go in Vegas now, and you're riding around in the cab, and you're almost guaranteed to hear some radio ad for, you know, anti-aging clinic. You know, it's just becoming more culturally popular at the time. So it's not really a surprise that it would also become more popular with fighters who are always looking for an edge.
You know, I was watching the 60 Minute about the baseball player, Rodriguez, A-Rod, and he was eating those fucking lozenges.
Right.
Did you see that? I don't know, you know, gummy bears, whatever you want to call them, but they were testing him after the games. Is that why he wasn't testing positive? Because they dissipate that fast?
You know, I don't know if it dissipates that fast. I guess it does. A lot depends on what form you take it in. I mean, he's the only guy I've ever heard of that, you know, had taken it that way. But I have heard of with several other fighters where, you know, you, as long as you give yourself a little bit of time before you know you're going to be tested, that those levels can come down in a real hurry. And that's the thing about it, too. I mean, that's why it was one of the preferred performance enhancers for a lot of guys, was because it dissipates so quickly. And if you're a fighter and you know, here's the date of the fight, here's when I'm going to be tested, you can circle that on the calendar. You know, not only with testosterone, just with a lot of performance-enhancing drugs, if you have anybody in your camp who knows what they're doing, it's hard to get caught that way. I mean, you have to screw it up. The only way, you know, drug testing really works is if it's random, unannounced, hey, we call you up and we tell you you got 2 hours to go get somewhere and get tested. You know, otherwise, if you can plan on it, you ought to be able to beat it.
It's amazing. I was on federal probation 20 years ago for drugs, and it was amazing how people were beating them. They would adapt. You just adapt, you know. There was animals that would tie hot water bottles to their fucking backs, would pee in them, and a hose to their dick. You know, I opted for the vinegar thing, which never worked, and cranberry juice. I mean, I remember doing like an 8-ball and Sunday night drinking a whole pint of white vinegar. Do you guys have an idea what that's like? And then drinking cranberry juice. Oh my God. And then when I failed again, then I started getting cleaners and putting them in my dick. Pool cleaners. So when I'd piss, it would fall in the thing. And I just fuck up the whole machine. I put so many things on my dick so I would beat the test. And I would just break the machine. Then they'd come to my house and come get me. It was ridiculous. So I can't imagine what these fucking baseball players are doing with money. I was a fucking, you know.
Yeah, at what point do you hate putting stuff on your dick more than you like getting high? It seemed like it would be not worth it at that point.
But I could just imagine people, because listen, I had friends growing up in Jersey that were doing steroids, and it all started out okay. But then it didn't take a genius to notice that it was becoming an addiction to them in a way. You know, they were going every fucking three times a week for shots when it's supposed to be every 6 weeks. And then you go on your cycle. These guys stayed on cycles. I had a friend that stayed on an Anavar cycle for fucking 3 or 4 years. You know, and you're like, dog, you got to give your liver and your kidneys a break. They didn't give a fuck. So in a way, a lot of people don't know, it becomes something like that the fighter in the back of his mind might also think, hey, I need this to fight.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, you can understand that. Like, you hear those ads, you know, the anti-aging clinic ads, and you can understand why it's attractive, not just to fighters, but just to men in general. Because, I mean, they go down this list, you feel tired, you know, you feel like you're not as strong as you used to be, all this stuff. And it's like, I mean, who couldn't say yes to that? Who couldn't talk themselves into saying yes? Yeah, I want to have more energy. You know, I want to, you know, have more vitality like I imagine I did in my youth. You know, that kind of, especially for fighters, you know, they're training 2 or 3 times a day and then going, man, I feel tired. Well, of course you feel tired. Anybody would feel tired. You go and do that stuff. But I think a lot of it comes from, I mean, we just live in this kind of culture where if you feel like anything is wrong, you know, what can I take for it? You know, you go to a doctor and tell them you think you have low testosterone, and most doctors will tell you, you know, lose weight, eat better, get more sleep, that kind of stuff. But people don't want to hear that. I mean, if there's a shot you can take for it, they're going to want that shot. And so there's money to be made off of it. So it kind of seems like one of those things where, you know, it's a cure in search of a disease. And that's why, I mean, you read the New York Times has done a lot of stuff on it recently, but talking to doctors who just say, you know, low testosterone, for most people, it's not even a real thing. But, you know, you can just kind of talk anybody into believing that they have it.
I, like I told you my story yesterday, I hang around a lot of younger guys, and they talk about all that shit, and I sit there because I've never believed in any of that shit, even growing up. Like I said, I grew up in the early 80s, and I had friends that were into all that stuff, and The last time I saw one of them, he was telling me he was buying the shit that they take out of your spine, out of dead people's fucking spine. It cost $10,000. This is to the level these guys were at, like, grew up with in Jersey. They were bodybuilders. So I never really, I don't like needles. God threw me a fucking blessing, Ben. I don't like needles at all. So they all started telling me about testosterone, get the cream. So they referred me to this one doctor. I went to the doctor. I took the blood test, yeah, against my physician. You know, I got a family doctor. I have sleep apnea. I wanted it not for any of the above shit. I wanted it because they said it helps you lose weight, that I would exercise more, and I would recover more. Well, I'll tell you what, man. It was giving me fucking anxiety. I was getting anxiety on planes. I was getting anxiety when I was working out. When I'd be out of breath, I was getting horrible anxiety. I went to a psychotherapist. I didn't know what the fuck it was. And like I told you on the phone, I got a call that I had a high red blood cell count. And I was a little upset at first. And I got off it, and I started lifting weights because all I was doing was jiu-jitsu and kickboxing. I was just doing jiu-jitsu and just going to the YMCA. And I tell you, man, I got off it, and I joined the kettlebell class. And I go 3 days a week, sometimes two if I have to leave town. And then I feel fucking better than I did on the testosterone. The only benefit from the testosterone was my dick was hard 24 fucking hours a day. If I was eating sushi, my dick would get hard. If I was eating a cheeseburger, my dick would get hard. And I'm not the type of guy that would cheat on my wife, but I did sit outside a few massage parlors a few times just to wonder what it'd be like for a nice little Asian chick to fucking rub me down and lick my nuts. But I never had the balls, Ben. Like, I never... And that was it. That's the only advantage I got. That if I really wanted to... The only advantage I got to the testosterone was if I was a 50-year-old fucking dirty fuck and I got myself, like, one of those 28-year-old hoes that you just take them shopping. That's the only... And I could fuck the shit out of them, drill them till their fucking blood's coming out of their ears. That's the only advantage I had, Ben. Besides that, I didn't really feel the thing. And right 2 weeks after that, was when the explosion started on TV for testosterone. Sue your doctor, you know, fucking blood clots. Like 2 weeks after that. So, you know what? They did me a fucking favor.
Well, you know, but that's, like, even just saying that, hey, the only thing I noticed from it was, you know, my dick was hard all the time. I mean, look at how many ads you see for, you know, erectile dysfunction pills. I mean, that alone is going to get a lot of people to think, like, okay, I'll sign up for that. But then, you know, like you're saying, the now that a lot of doctors are being sued, they think it's linked to heart attacks or strokes. I mean, people don't, we don't really know what happens from you doing synthetic testosterone for years. And that is the problem, too, is you start doing it, and once you get on it, it's hard to get off because your body is going to stop producing its own testosterone once you're injecting synthetic testosterone regularly. So, I mean, you kind of lock people into this cycle of doing it without really knowing where it's going to lead or where it's going to end. You know, and that's, you know, for regular people, I mean, I think that those are just personal concerns. Everybody has to answer for themselves is, you know, what's worth it? You know, is what you get out of it worth of these risks and the unknowns that go along with it? For professional fighters, I think it's a different situation because it's not just about you. It's also about the landscape of the sport. Because if you're getting on testosterone and I got to fight you in 6 weeks, man, I'm going to think I got to have something. Right? This guy's going to go in there, you know, he's injecting this stuff and getting jacked up and going and working out and recovering faster than I will. I got to do something because otherwise he's going to beat me up and take my money. And it creates basically this kind of arms race in the sport where everybody's looking for something better, some other kind of edge that they can get on. And then the guys who don't even want to do it, the guys who are worried about the risk to their health with this kind of stuff, in order just to stay in the sport, they feel like they've got to do it. Like, I think that's the really pernicious part that sneaks in there that people don't think about.
Was the GSP situation a little bit about TRT? Is this what he was saying? Do you believe he was always clean from testosterone?
You know, he didn't specify TRT. He kind of just said that drug testing in general in the sport was lacking. And he's right about that. I mean, you can't really disagree with him on that. You know, like you said before, anybody who knows, here's when I'm going to be tested, it's really easy to beat that test, and the testing is not comprehensive enough what they're tested for. So he's right that the testing in MMA right now, it allows people to cheat and get away with it if they're doing it smart. So, you know, I can understand him bringing that issue up now. It did seem like he, you know, he said this, that he wishes he had done it sooner and done a little more for it. And I can understand him feeling that way now. But I also think, you know, if he wants to get behind it now, whether he's in the sport or just outside of it, whatever, I think he should, because I think he's the kind of guy who he's respected enough. He's got enough money that he's got some independence from the UFC. He doesn't have to worry about them, you know, bashing him barring him from ever returning. You know, he can do it. He can be that guy who can kind of push for this and put some pressure on the athletic commission and the UFC and improve the sport for everybody, you know. And I'm glad to see him do it. I hope he sticks with it.
No, it was really, when he started talking about it, I read a few articles and whatnot, and it really made me think how a champion, you know, I mean, he's a real champion, the guy. I don't know what happened in the last couple of years or what happened with this fight or up to it, but that he was so concerned about it, which gave me, you know, it let me know that maybe he wasn't doing anything at all, you know.
Yeah, it makes you think that way. And, you know, it's tough to, you can always throw around the accusation itself. And, you know, even a guy who's never tested positive for anything like him, you know, the Lance Armstrong situation, I think, kind of disabused a lot of those notions that, hey, if you just pile up enough clean drug tests, that you must be clean. I mean, you can beat those forever. So it becomes a thing for pro athletes. It's like with politicians and sex scandal, you know? Like, I mean, as soon as you hear the rumor of it, you're ready to believe it just because it happens so often. So, you know, the fact that he is so passionate about it now, I think, is the thing that is most likely to make people think that he is clean and was always clean, because otherwise, you know, why would you go out of your way to make such an issue of it?
Now, how will this change the landscape of the sport in the next year or so? What do you think? Because I was thinking about it before I asked you. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I think that what it's going to do mainly is the guys who are on it now, guys like Chael Sonnen, Vitor Belfort, you know, Dan Henderson, it's a bad deal for those guys, because for a while, the UFC was cool with it, the athletic commissions were cool with it, everybody, you know, kind of had their back there. And now they've kind of decided very suddenly, you know what, no, we're not anymore. It's politically inconvenient for them. They're taking too much pressure, too much heat for it. So they want to distance themselves from it. And it leaves these guys holding the bag. I mean, for Vitor Belfort and Chael Sonnen, you know, especially for Vitor Belfort, because he got right there to the title shot. He got to the precipice there. And now they're telling him, okay, you have to find a way to do without this really powerful chemical that may have shut off your body's natural ability to produce the same thing. That's not going to be easy to deal with. I mean, different people, you know, are probably going to deal with it differently. But now he has to figure out how, you know, his body's going to react and how he's going to move forward from that. You know, it might just be a matter of he takes 6 months and gets himself back to normal. It might take a year. Who knows? And it's also a perception problem for him, because if he goes in there and, you know, he does eventually get a title shot and say Chris Weidman's still the champion, he fights Chris Weidman and he loses, something that could, you know, happen to you regardless of what you're on, because Chris Weidman's just really damn good. But if he goes in there and he loses, of course people are going to say, you know, it was the TRT all along. The TRT made you who you are. Without it, you're nothing. You know, without it, you didn't deserve to be here even. And that's probably going to be unfair. But, I mean, that's kind of the bargain that these guys struck without really realizing, without thinking far enough ahead to think what's going to happen when all these agencies and organizations pull out of this and I get branded as, you know, the face of TRT. And that's kind of what's happened to Vitor.
You know, it's how old have you been? I don't mean to pry in your personal life.
I'm 34.
You know, I'm 51. It's amazing how this issue has popped in all sports, except maybe basketball, the last 15 years. You know, it started with baseball and heavy, and now it's into MMA. You know, and it's amazing how I remember being a kid, and you never heard about this type of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, when you...
Well, and that is something, I mean, I think people bring up is, hey, what did people do, you know, what would Rocky Marciano do if he thought he had low testosterone? You know, he'd deal with it.
Eat a fucking steak. You eat a fucking steak and you bang one out and, you know, what the fuck did you do? What the fuck did you do in the 50s? I mean, you look at guys like Sergio Oliva and those guys. Maybe they were doing like Decca de Roblin or no, the one from Germany. What's the one that bulks you up? The fucking pill, D-Ball, Diana Ball, or something like that. Maybe the Germans had something back then. I don't know the evolution of, but it wasn't to the point. What did Ben, remember when I was a kid, it was Ben Weider. That was his name. He supplied supplements in a Muscle Fitness magazine. I think it was even his magazine. But, well, yeah, you're right. What would Rocky Marciano did if he found out he had low testosterone? He'd eat spaghetti and meatballs. Right? I mean,
well, you know, and I mean, I think the thing with, especially with sports, is like a lot of people will say, hey, you know, just hey, take away the testing altogether. Let them all do whatever they want, and let's see, you know, that'll create some kind of new level playing field in a way that's, you know, above the current one, and then, you know, just let them sort each other out. And the problem is, I mean, I think it was in The Atlantic, a philosopher there made a really good argument about that, where he talked about with the Olympics, where remember a couple of Olympics ago when all the swimmers had those suits, and it was like these special suits that they were getting made, and they were really expensive, and you could only use them a certain number of times, but they started just, you know, shattering records. And then pretty soon it was like, okay, if you want to compete at all, you got to have one of those suits. It doesn't matter if you're the best in the world. These other guys who are almost the best in the world had the suits. They're going to kill you. You got to get the suit to get in there. And eventually it becomes, you know, not really the point. I mean, the point of the whole swimming competition was to see who the best individual swimmer was. If the point was to see how fast can you get from one end of the pool to the other, you'd use a boat. You'd use a jet ski. You know, you wouldn't even be bothering swimming. That's not the point. The same thing with fighting. I mean, we want to see who the best fighter is, not who has the best, you know, lab at home, who has the best chemistry set. And it's especially concerning because, hey, if you lose a swimming race, fine. You lost, you know, you're sad, whatever. You lose a fight, you might have brain damage, you know, especially these guys who are saying, hey, I might have low testosterone as a result of getting hit in the head. Well, then you definitely shouldn't be injecting testosterone so you can get hit in the head more. And those are real problems that people are going to face, and it's a lot worse than in other sports. I mean, somebody can get really hurt here, somebody can get killed, and, I mean, MMA is already fairly new and sometimes on shaky political ground, depending on where you go and what the climate is. Imagine if somebody gets killed while somebody else is using testosterone with, you know, official permission from the organization. It would be a disaster.
You know, you have a question, Lee?
Well, not about the TRT. I had a question about the fighter who got banned yesterday for something he did like 3 or 4 years ago. So keep talking about this.
Right.
Oh,
a little choke, yeah.
Yeah, the one with the from the Air Force.
Right? Yeah, I mean, I understand it's terrible to hit your wife, but he did it 3 or 4 years. Like, it was a while ago. I was surprised to see that they took him out for something he did that long ago.
But, you know, I think some of that might have been like a, what did he tell the UFC about it?
You know? So he hit it? Okay.
Well, I think that from what I've read, you know, I haven't talked to him about it or talked to the UFC about it yet, but from what I've read, you know, he told them, hey, I have, you know, a misdemeanor assault on my record, but this was in the military. You know, he was kicked out of the Air Force for it, and it was kind of dealt with by the military, and it didn't seem like he let them know all, you know, the full extent of the case there. And so, you know, it's one thing if you tell the UFC, hey, you're a fighter with a misdemeanor assault on your record. There's a lot of that, you know. And there's even, you know, a few fighters in the UFC who have domestic violence stuff in their past. I think maybe one of the things that the UFC was reacting to was they had kind of pumped this guy up based on his military service a little bit. Then this comes out that he was kicked out of the military for beating his wife, and it comes out, you know, just right before the fight. And they feel forced into a corner where they got to do something. I mean, I think that you raised an interesting issue where, hey, how long ago does it have to be? Do we, you do something wrong once, do we punish you for it for the rest of your life? At the same time, you know, you go beating up your ex-wife and hitting her on the head with a knife handle, man, that's pretty bad.
Oh, Jesus.
Especially if you want to try and then turn around and make a living as a fighter of all things. I mean, those are tough questions to answer, I agree.
We live in a corporate world. Okay, which changes the rules on a lot of things. It's not, it also doesn't force you to give me an answer. You know, in 1994, I was in Denver and some girl ran up to me and jumped, like girls jump to say hello.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to grab her and 3 days later, somebody said I grabbed her ass and I got thrown out of a comedy club for sexual harassment. You know me. If I'm going to grab your ass, I'll fucking ask you. And if I'm going to grab you, I'm not going to waste on your ass. I'm going to grab that fucking monkey and squeeze that motherfucker till you tap. I'm not a fucking sexual predator, but because of that, I have sexual harassment. I live my life, you know? If somebody would ask me, I'd tell them the fucking truth, and I'd tell them just how I told you. The Comedy Works had to call me the next day and let me go.
Mm-hmm.
No matter if the girl was a stripper, no matter if she was a freak, that wasn't the consequences. It was plain and simple. I grabbed the girl's ass when she jumped on me. I learned to live with it. It did me a favor. It got me out of Denver and made me who I am today. It made me work harder. So every situation has a different story. You know, yeah. I have felonies. I go get a job and it comes up. 30 years ago, you took the boss in the back and said, listen, I stabbed a bitch a couple of years ago. We got a problem here? No, come here for 30 days, sell some cars, and we'll forget all the fuck about it.
Yeah.
That's not the issue anymore.
And I'm not saying he shouldn't, like, if he beat up his wife with a knife handle, it's terrible. But it's just when I saw the article, I was like, it just seems like it's a fighting organization, so anything negative with fighting, they probably just had to throw him out.
Well, we just had a situation a few weeks ago with Thiago Alves. Thiago, one of the Thiagos, correct?
Mm-hmm. Ben? Thiago Silva.
Thiago Silva. I don't mean to disrespect any Thiagos out there. Thiago Silva. So I think the UFC is covering themselves now. A couple of years ago, somebody tweeted a racial slur or something, a gay slur. Remember, Ben? And there was a problem then also. I forget who it was. So the UFC works very hard to have an image. And as a fighter, you got to act as a professional, you know, and that's in anything. So, but on the other hand, I also saw Dana White with what's the fucking golf player? The black guy that was cheating on his wife. Tiger Woods had on. So I know that Dana White believes in second chances.
Yeah. It's just what they do, I guess.
It's just a corporation. Do you feel the same way, Ben?
I mean, I think the UFC has to be, or they feel like, especially, that they have to be really careful about that stuff. Because, you know, like you said, an NFL player beats his wife, and, you know, depending on who he is and the circumstances, you know, maybe it'll be in the news for a couple of days, and then, you know, he'll be back at practice in a week or two. The UFC, I think they know that they're already, you know, it's a professional fighting organization. People already kind of look at it like it's a bunch of tattooed skinheads, you know, kicking each other in the balls. So that impression is still out there among, you know, a sizable portion of the population. They have to deal with that. And I think especially, you know, the UFC has female fighters. It has a lot of female fans. And so they should take stuff like violence against women very seriously. You know, they should send the message that they're not okay with that kind of stuff. I mean, the question of how long does a guy need to be punished? Can he ever become a professional fighter after something like that? I mean, that is a tough one. I did a story a couple of years ago on a guy, Dan McGuan, who he served time for manslaughter, you know, got in a street fight. He got in a street fight with some kid. The guy died. He did a few years in prison and then got out and tried to become a professional fighter. And as soon as people found out about that aspect of his past, you know, he basically got pretty much run out of the sport because of it. And it was that same kind of thing. You know, how long should your past follow you? And how long do we say for each crime does it follow you? I mean, you look around at a UFC event, you see Mike Tyson, and it's like our culture has decided, okay, we're cool with Mike Tyson now. Whatever he did, you know, we're fine with it. And it seems like that kind of stuff, you can never guess what the rules are going to be. You know, some people it works one way, for some people it seems to work another way. And I think every person has to decide kind of how they feel about that stuff.
It's fucking crazy. It really is crazy. Now, how long have you been doing the articles on TRT? Because he says you've been following it for a while.
For a couple of years, probably 2 or 3 years. I think after Chael Sonnen's first fight with Anderson Silva is when it kind of entered the mainstream consciousness for MMA fans. Because, you know, he tested positive for elevated testosterone and made that argument that he needed it, that he had hypogonadism, that he needed testosterone. And then, you know, since then, it seems to have become a lot more public. So kind of ever since then, you know, I've been talking to endocrinologists and doctors and regulators, and a lot of people trying to figure out what to do about it.
How do you feel? Do you feel this will help the sport? Do you feel this will hinder it?
Well, I feel like getting rid of it helps the sport, because I know a lot of guys who, I've talked to a lot of fighters, even guys who retired fairly recently, who said, this is one of the reasons I retired, is because these guys are out there on that stuff, and I don't want to get on it. I feel like that's the way I would have to get on it if I wanted to compete. And I think, that definitely exists. I played, 1 year of college football at a small college where everybody was on steroids, and it was, and you knew that, hey, if you want to play on this team and you're not way too good to be at the small college to begin with, then you'll probably have to get on it because everybody else is. And you either make the choice to do that or you go do something else, and I went and did something else. So I understand how those guys come to that conclusion. I think, though, that it's only a start. It's only getting rid of the thing that where people had permission to cheat. Now you got to increase the drug testing and make the drug testing so that you're actually going to catch the guys who are doing it without permission, because there's a lot more of those guys. I guarantee you there's a lot more people doing synthetic testosterone than the guys who had the permission for it. Because when you go and you file that paperwork to get permission to do it, you put the microscope on yourself. Everybody knows what you're doing and they're watching you. It'd be a lot easier to do it underground and make sure that you're doing it so that you don't get caught. And it's really probably not that hard to avoid getting caught. But I mean, that's got to be the next step, is that if we want a clean sport, then we have to have real drug testing. We don't have it right now.
It's funny how if it's not testosterone, they'll find something else.
Right.
And I both know that they'll find something else. And it's a shame that they'll go underground. I read a statement that Chael Sonnen says that he might have to retire if he doesn't use it. And I don't understand why. I don't get it. If you're a fighter, you're a fucking fighter. I mean, these guys in boxing lied about their ages. Who's the guy Muhammad Ali knocked out? Sonny Liston in 64 or something? People said that guy was walking around at 45. I don't think there was fucking testosterone. I don't even know. But why would he quit?
It puts those guys in a spot, right, where they have to say, look, I need this to compete. But then if they're winning and they're having a lot of success, like Vitor was, they also want to turn around and say, but the testosterone has nothing to do with it. Like I did, and it can't be both those things. It can't be something where I absolutely have to have it. I have this medical need and I'll be at a severe, unovercomable disadvantage if you don't let me have it. But then when I have success, it was all me. Don't even, look at the man behind the curtain there. It can't be both those things.
It's fucking amazing. Ben, I want to thank you for calling in. Where can the listeners find you at?
They can find me on MMAJunkie.com. That's where was my articles go. Also, sometimes in the print edition of USA Today. And you can find me on Twitter at BenFolksMMA.
And you just cover MMA or you cover college
just
football?
MMA.
You bad motherfucker, you. That's why I love you. When are they going to get rid of Ariane now that we have, what's her name? You look at those flower girls, whatever, those ring girls, and their days are numbered. Once Ronda Rousey, those days are numbered. What's up? You going to ask him something later?
Well, Ben, I was just interested, just a little bit off topic. As a writer, for someone now who you see the write for MMA Junkie, and sometimes you get into the print, I used to work in TV, and I see that the way that it's changing. So I'm interested now. I'm doing a podcast and it's new, but it seems like more people are going to different mediums. How are you adapting with writing and going from less print to more online to when you say it, you should probably say, oh well, I'd prefer to have more stuff in USA Today, but maybe MMA Junkie now has a higher readership than they do. So it's like, how is that affecting what you're doing?
Yeah, it does. And, there are a lot more avenues for people. Like, I also do a podcast. I do the co-main of that podcast is something I do once a week with Chad Dunn, who's a writer for Bleacher Report. And it's one of those things where it gives you a lot more opportunities to kind of get out and do it yourself rather than having somebody give you the opportunity and, put you in the paper and that kind of thing. And while it's cool, it's cool to be in the paper. My parents get a big kick out of it. They can go and buy the paper and see it. But then it's also one of those things where, if you have a story on page 6C of the sports page in USA Today, it's a huge circulating paper in the United States, but you don't know necessarily how many people actually read your article. and are going to remember it. And even if you remember it, you know, it's not like if they read you on the internet, not only can you see exactly how many people read your article, they also can take action right there. Okay, this guy's on Twitter. They go find out. I mean, it's way easier for the readers to connect with you immediately and to remember you and for you to kind of generate a following that way. And it's also easier for, like, a lot of people sometimes will send me emails and ask, like, you know, how do I kind of get started with sports writing? And now it's easy. I mean, you just start your own website, start writing for it. And if you're any good, you know, eventually somebody will see it, hopefully. Before it was, you know, you needed the editor at some newspaper to give you a chance and hire you on. So, I mean, I think there's a lot more opportunity now because there's opportunity for everyone. It's a little harder to stand out. You know, there's a lot more people kind of shouting into the void there. So it forces you to kind of hone your skill and hone your craft so that you stand out.
Okay. And do you feel, is there a stigma for online writers? Like when you go to the events, do the people for ESPN or a place like that, do they look down on you, or is it so prevalent now that almost everyone there works for an online site?
You know, I think maybe there used to be that more. I think now that's kind of gone away because I don't think there's really anybody that you see at USC events who doesn't do some online stuff, and that's, you know, that's kind of, especially with MMA, because the fan base is so plugged in. You know, it's a younger fan base, and the internet is a big part of what kind of helped MMA through that dark period when, you know, couldn't get on pay-per-view and didn't have any big TV deals, and everybody was going to websites to figure out what was going on and read about events. So, and I think that now everybody just expects that, you know, you can write for the internet. Before it used to be, oh, you're a blogger in your mom's basement, you know, and now it's definitely, there's definitely a different perception. You know, now it seems more like newspapers are, you know, that's some 65-year-old dude sitting there on a typewriter writing for the newspaper every day.
It's amazing how a young man today that's interested in writing, who gets out of college, can't get a fucking job, you're right, could sit in his house, go to one of those wiki pages, build a website, write on it, and after 6 months, if he's any good, he'll get a little sponsor around there. People start reading right. His shit. He can make t-shirts up. He can put a podcast together, and you're a one-man fucking operation out of your basement.
Right, and I mean, I think it's more like merit-based then. It's not just like, who do you know, and did you get the right degree from the right place? It's, you know, do people want to read your shit? And then that's kind of what helps figure it out, is like, you put it up there, and you also, you know, if you put it up there and you have somewhere to write every day, you're going to get better. So, I mean, I think it's good for everybody that way. It just forces, it forces everybody to find a way to get noticed, because the field gets a lot more crowded that way.
I think that there's not enough good writers for MMA right now. It's so new that people still get into the genre on it. I mean, anybody who would get into writing for MMA right now, if they really paid attention, if they were good, they would get noticed quickly, I think. That's just what I feel.
And I think that there's plenty of guys who have done that. You know, guys, you know, I think like my podcast co-host, Chad Dundas, he's a really good writer, and I think MMA has been a good way for a lot of people to see that. Chuck Mindenhall at MMAfighting.com is a good writer. You know, I think you see a lot more of that happening now. I think it used to be before, where it was just, you know, whoever could be at the events, regardless of whether they could write a good sentence or not, you know, they're going to be the guy we rely on. And now that it's been around a little bit longer and we've gotten some good writers into it, now we're actually seeing, you know, more stories being done, some real craft in there. So, I mean, I think it's on an upward trajectory.
You're right, man. Well, thank you, my brother. I appreciate you calling on an early Monday morning. Keep warm up there in Missoula. If you find out where the 8-ball in is, say hello.
All right. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you very much for calling, man. Have a great week.
Right. You too.
That was fucking great.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know much about the TRT and how it worked. And I'll tell you something that was bothering me lately. And I'm not saying this because I really don't know the stories, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. There was a big window in my life where I didn't pay attention to. I was too busy with comedy. You know, I was busy with comedy and child support. That was it. From 90 to fucking 2005, 2004, I was focused on one fucking thing. So I missed a lot. And I was thinking about this because I read a little bit about Woody Allen.
Okay.
So he's got a wife.
Yeah.
Her wife adopts a kid.
Mm-hmm.
One day he just starts dating a fucking kid.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody says a fucking word.
He makes great movies.
Well, you imagine that.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know the whole story because I was too young, but from what I've heard, it's like the wife adopted it, and maybe even before they were married or something, and it's they were hanging out, and she was old enough, or 17 or 18, and then when they broke up, they got together. It's creepy, but it's just...
It is the sickest thing I had ever heard, and I'd ever digested it, and I asked my wife at lunch about 3 weeks ago to tell me the story, and when she told me it, let me know how fucking hypocritical, especially the people are out here.
Yeah.
Because you forgive everything if he puts you in a fucking movie.
Yeah.
And I don't give a fuck. I'm just saying the situation is garbage. I mean, it's just somebody else would be screaming to high heavens.
Yeah.
And people do scream from time to time. Like, I read little articles.
Well, they just had that one actress, I forget her name, who was his daughter, too, who she said abused him. He abused her a few weeks ago, a month or two ago. I forget the actress's name. But I mean, I guess it's kind of like the Michael Jackson. Like, we're doing the podcast in the 90s, but it's kind of like the Michael Jackson thing. I mean, there are 18 kids who said they touched him, or he touched them. Some of them have to be telling the truth. It's like, I mean, it's that guy. I mean, Woody Allen's made great movies, but he's a creepy old Jew. I mean, I don't know. He likes Asian girls.
It really is crazy. Let me give some shout outs to my main man Greg and Lynn Powers. Thank you for sending me the sweatshirt for all the love. Lek Money, Connor Scotland, David Camargo, Rick Moncrief, Joshua Woodworth, and Cesar Flores. I love you motherfuckers. Thank you for paying attention and doing your fucking thing. You know what I'm saying? Also, I want to give a shout out to HuluPlus.com. They ain't fucking around. You understand me? Binge on TV shows. Watch them on the hell you want. Plus is the fucking word here because it's tremendous. Now, if you go to the website, HuluPlus.com, they give you 7 days for free, and it's $7.99 a month, correct?
Correct.
I'm going to give you 2 weeks for free and $7.99 a month. You go to Hulu Plus, or you go to JoeyDiaz.net, and there's a Hulu Plus box. In the box, you press
Joey.
Boom. 2 weeks gratis. Bam. $7.99 a month. Who's fucking better than me? You don't have to go out of the house. You don't got to do this. You don't got to do that. They got Brooklyn Nine-Nine on there. They got the show with the Dirty Wife on CBS. They got everything on there. Documentaries.
Yeah, they have a movie. Cool one that they do themselves.
Yes.
It's like inside. It's inside the world of sports mascots.
My wife watches all that shit.
Oh, yeah. So I want to check that one out.
She's on Hulu Plus constantly, so... My wife's a pain in the ass, so Hulu works for my wife. HuluPlus.com will work for you. Go to JoeyDiaz.net, and in the box you press
Joey,
you get 2 weeks gratis, $7.99 a month. I also want to give a shout out to my main motherfuckers, Dollar Shave Club. Why walk around looking like Abe Lincoln when you get a fucking razor for $1, $6, or $9 a month delivered to your fucking door? Not only that, not only do they do all that stuff, but they got tremendous products. They got a one wipe Charlie to wipe your asshole that smells like peppermint and keeps your hemorrhoid testing tasting free, gluten free. And they also have a fucking this thing that I got. I gotta get more.
The shave butter.
Upgrade your fucking shave to the shave butter. $8. You understand me? It takes care of fucking ingrown hairs. It got vitamins on your face. It's made with this black fucking willow stuff they put on their face in Africa, and the hair falls right off to the root. So Dollar Shave Club, $1, $6, or $9 a month.
You can't beat it.
You can't beat that. Deliver it to your door.
And you can do it once every 2 months, too.
And you can do it every 2 months if you don't shave it as much. You can back up the razors. It's a great fucking program. You don't have to go to fucking some pharmacy once a month and stand online like a fucking mook. And then you bring them home and one falls and they break. No, 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 no. And let me tell you something. The razor they sent you, the handle, that's a weapon. You get two of those, you put a spring, you take a string, that's a fucking new chuck in any society. You understand me? And that's how we do it here. I also want to give a shout out to escapepipetank.com. Listen, as far as flotation tanks go, I've been asking around. These fucking people know what they're doing over Escape Pod Tank. I took to my man Jeremy the other day. Me and Lee are going to take a ride to San Diego to one of their spots. They have some tanks down there. We're going to jump in. We're going to make a video. What do you think about that, Lee?
I've been wanting to do it for a while.
Yeah, let's go down there. So sometime in May, we're going to go down there, and we're going to make a video of myself and Lee going in a fucking tank. I'm going to blow shotguns in his face.
Are we going to take a Goomy on the way down or something?
Eat the whole fucking Goomy. Ooh. Solo, like John Lennon in 69.
I might not come out of that thing.
Who gives a fuck? Man, you don't come out for a few weeks.
I love
that. You go in there and dream about enchiladas and fucking pussy.
I'm a Jew. I love it. It sounds like a sauna. Like it sounds like it's... Like
a Spitz.
Yeah.
Nice. I love it. A little massage, a little pinguita, and everything's back. When was the last time you pulled the skin back on your pinguita?
You can't do that in a
you do whatever you want.
Tank it's floating tank. Around with
Who
you?
Who gives a fuck? It's Epsom salt and hot water. A temperature that matches your skin, 96.8.
98.6, yeah.
98.6, the same temperature as your skin.
Yeah.
So when you go in there, you don't even feel the water on your skin. You close your eyes and you fucking go to a different universe. EscapeBodTank.com. Go to the website. They got residential. They got fucking industrial tanks. Take a look at all of them. I guarantee you, if you do your shopping and look around, you're going to save 2 to 3 G's. Then, after you save 2 to 3 G's, you mention that you know Uncle Joey. They give you an additional $250 off. You can order it and install it yourself, or they can fly out and install it for you for an additional extra charge. You got to put them up, feed them, smoke weed with them, do bong hits for Jerry's kids. But EscapePodTank.com, they're fucking solid.
And they have a great website. So, like, because we don't know everything about it. We know the basics. Email them or call them. Like, I mean, you said like, Jeremy, the owner, is great. Just ask him some questions about it.
He's a bad motherfucker. I love him to death. He's honest. He's a good old boy up there in Nebraska. So give him a holler, all right? And that's it. What the fuck you want from me?
What the fuck?
Now you know about TRT. Now you know about sticking to your fucking roots when you're a young man, whatever, for a young woman. Let's say you were a ballerina, whatever the fuck you are. Don't quit now. Fucking stick it out, because that'll keep you in that thing. That'll keep you thinking like you were when you were 13, which is the most important thing. Think about it. When you were 13, you knew what you wanted to do. You know, you looked at people who got to smoke cigarettes and you called them creepy.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? You had this fucking view of the world. That's not a bad view. It's really who the fuck you are. But as you get older, you taint it and you throw shit on it, negativity, and fucking you listen to the news and they talk about gym teachers that fuck kids up the ass, and it fucks you up. You don't want that in your mind.
Right. You don't. And it's uh-huh. It's crazy how as you get older, the more things you try to quit. Like it's, like I remember that as a kid.
What do you want to quit?
No, nothing now. But I'm saying, like, when I was a kid, like when you're not the best at something, like I quit soccer and baseball, and I did taekwondo for like 8 or 10 years. I was never the best at anything, but I got up until a red belt, and I should have waited. If I did it for one more year, I probably would have got a black belt.
You were throwing little sidekicks.
Sidekicks for Jesus. I had my favorite trophy was in first grade. I won a tournament. Is it either for forums or for fighting? It was probably forums, if I had to guess. And when I got it, I remember I weighed in. I was 45 pounds, and the trophy was as tall as me. I had to throw it away when my mom moved, because she couldn't. Why was she going to carry a trophy from when I was in first grade? But it was I did it for years.
I had a couple of trophies. I remember how proud I am. Basketball trophies and karate trophies.
I had a little trophy wall. I had them all stacked up.
I had a little basketball fucking trophy. And I still remember that one time I scored 31 points. I had a little article that said, Coco Diaz drilled home. Drilled home. You understand me, Lee? When was the last time you drilled home a motherfucker? Drilled them home, cocksucker. Not like that. Not sexually.
But
very disgusting.
You should give a... Why haven't you given me a trophy? I feel like adults should get trophies.
Sure, I'll give you a fucking trophy. How about a trophy of my fucking cock? How about
if
that?
If it's a trophy, I'll take it.
Fucking trophy. You're 15. You're 25 years old. No more fucking trophy. Your trophy is a $100 bill when you go to the Bank of America and you deposit.
How happy would you be if I came in and handed you a trophy of a $100 bill? Here you go.
I'd fucking smash in the head.
No, you wouldn't. You would, but you look at it and you take it home. You put it in the little desk.
Are you fucking crazy?
No, who doesn't like getting a trophy?
I don't want no fucking trophies, all right?
People give him a trophy.
Why don't you give him a trophy of hummus?
I'll take it.
Fucking disgusting. I'm going to be at Fort Lauderdale this weekend. Thursday, Friday, Saturday with my main man, Edwin San Juan.
Oh, that's a good show.
And Ricky Boom Boom Cruise, direct and shit. I haven't seen Ricky. Used to live up here. And one night I took him to some house to see some chicks suck a guy's dick. The next week with the Tempe Improv, myself and the other Jew, fucking Ari Shafir. How's that one for you? He's probably on his way down driving right now from San Jose.
Can you believe they drove?
They're like fucking Puerto Ricans on the 4th.
Oh.
I can't believe it. I really can't. You know, I believe in saving time and energy and shit. This fucking guy, he's out there driving cross country. They want to stop at some fucking place.
I'm going to stop at some place and fuck around.
Go fuck yourself. What's wrong with fucking people? Everybody got time to fuck around. You know what I'm saying? And that's it. We got a great podcast on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I'll be in Fort Lauderdale. I'm happy that this guy called in today from the TRT and shit like that, because I had Berdici call in, so I wanted to have both perspectives. You know?
Yeah.
I talked to Berdici the other day. I'm happy I'm not on the testosterone. I'm doing a lot better. My breathing's doing better. I'm a lot fucking happier, so
that's great,
it helped
man.
Out. Yes, listen, man, you can put whatever the fuck you want. I always felt this way. If I'm going to do TRT or a steroid, it's because I'm doing something professional. I'm making six figures slabbing motherfuckers to the floor or picking them up. I'm not going to do steroids to walk around to show people what. To do what? To get a tattoo on my arm like some fucking moron and cut my shirts off and have big arms and a fat fucking stomach? What the fuck is wrong with people, Lee? Just be yourself. Who gives a fuck? Fucking momos.
Fucking momos.
Fucking momos. Have a great day. Stay black. I love you guys. The church of what's happening now. Always.
Always. Oh, and for people who have been asking, I'm going to try to do a YouTube page. They kept taking it down because of the music. So what I'll do is I'm going to cut the both ends of the music off, so you might miss a little bit of the intro. But I get hit up every day for this YouTube page. And YouTube, if it has any music in it, they keep taking it down for us because we have a lot of subscribers. So I'm going to try to put it up, so I understand that. Listen to the other podcasts we do, and I have a Flying Jew t-shirt out. I'd appreciate if you got it. Everyone who ordered it, I'm shipping those out today. And that's it.
All right, have a great week. We'll see you here Wednesday. Stay black and beautiful.
Now that the show's over, don't forget to sign up for your free trial of Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast to get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey or go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Hulu Plus banner. Don't forget to sign up for DollarShaveClub.com. Get high-quality razors sent to your door every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. Go to DollarShaveClub.
A fraction.
A fraction. You can go to DollarShaveClub.com/church or just go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner and go to EscapePodTank.com. Save money on your sensory deprivation tank. Mention Joey Diaz and get $250 off your order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm ready now.